chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 2. Mark chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 2. Mark 4, Deuteronomy 2. Got my hair cut this morning. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. My wife was cutting it for me this morning, and I thought, boy, she's kind of like a Rembrandt, you know. She's up there just doing this masterpiece. And then it dawned on me when I looked in the mirror, it's more like a preschooler doing finger painting. There's not very much you have to deal with. It's just kind of a spot here and a spot there. So, but nevertheless, she still does a good job with it. Amen. Mark chapter 4. I forgot to ask about this morning. Brother Richardson, you may know, is there a whiteboard? I know Pastor had one. Yes, please. Yes. Maybe we can have a couple of these boys go back there and grab it. You need help getting it? Lucas, go back and help him grab that weed, please. Mark chapter 4 this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 2. I got the chance to talk to the youth this morning as well. I had a good time with them. Teaching youth is a whole lot more stressful than teaching you guys for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's because I know they're all going to go to their parents and say, guess what Brother Jeffers told us this morning. But Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, the Lord just got done talking about some different parables and things, whatnot. He talks about the parable of the sower in verses 1 to 12, and then he tells them what it means in verses 13 through 20. Then he goes through the parable of the candle, about, you know, how you're supposed to set it out. You're not supposed to hide it under a bushel, you know. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, that kind of thing there. He gets down to the mustard seed in verse number 30 through 34. And then in verse number 35, the Lord's been talking to him. And then he calls him out. And he says, all right, we're going to get out of here. We're going to go somewhere else. We've been here for a while. We've taught what we need to teach. So now we're going to go somewhere else. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we'll start reading there, verses 35 to 41. It says, in the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, which is the proper response for them. They feared exceedingly and said one to another. We talked this morning in the youth class about having a good, healthy fear of God. I think it would behoove, that's one of my big words. I think it would behoove all of us to have a good, healthy fear of God. I believe 150%, if you had a good, healthy fear of God, your life would be lived for His glory a whole lot more than it is right now. Amen? If you live your life in light of the judgment seat of Christ, you'd probably have a little bit better life, wouldn't you? And we'll go into that here shortly about some different things. But verse 41 says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Call your attention back up to verse 35 when Jesus speaks. He says, let us pass over unto the other side. They're on one side, and he says, we need to get over there. Now let's go there. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Keep your place in Mark 4. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1. The children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Verse 1, he says, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spake unto me, this is Moses writing, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. He doesn't say how many, but he just says many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. As if to say, you've been here long enough, you've done what you can, now you need to get out of here and go somewhere else. You need to go northward. So turn back over to Mark chapter 4 and we'll pray. Father, we thank you again for this time. I pray you bless it and may it be used for your glory and for your honor. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, God, for this precious book that we have with us. And I pray we'd stand for it, stand for the truth, and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our pastor and get him home. It's rough when he's gone sometimes. Lord, we sure do miss him when he's not here. We pray you get him back home safely, and we pray that you bless him and Janet while they're visiting with their daughter. Pray you give them a good time, and bless him this morning while he preaches. I pray you'd help him and give him strength and courage. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 4:35, Jesus says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." There comes a point which the point came for these men whenever they were doing what the Lord had them to do. And the Lord said, "All right, guys, we've been here long enough. Now get in the ship. We need to get over to the other side." And there comes a point in every Christian's life when the Lord says, "You've been here long enough. Let's pass over to the other side." Now, we talked this morning with the youth. I made the comment that, hey, you know, you had a good time at youth camp. And they all said, "Hey, man, it was great. Everything was wonderful." And there comes a point, though, as you grow as a Christian, as a child of God, where the Lord says, "All right, now you've been here for a while. You've been at this point in your Christian walk. Now let's move to the other side. Let's take the next step so we can get you a little bit further up so you can grow a little bit." Amen? You mamas that have babies, you love them to death, but if you had to change diapers for the next 50 years of your life with one kid, you wouldn't like it too much, would you? Amen? You want that child to grow. A growing child is a healthy child. A child that grows is healthy. It's doing the right thing, okay? The child doesn't stay a baby for its whole life, you know, for 80, 90 years, right? Child grows. So there's a point when the Lord says, "All right, you've been here long enough. Now let's get up and let's go a little bit further and let's get to the next level. You're no longer a baby anymore." How many of you know who Jack Chick is? You know who Jack Chick is. He has a little pamphlet, a little book. It's called The Next Step. How many of you have seen that? Okay, if you haven't seen it, you need to find it and you need to read it. It's good. It's good. And it's got this little baby and then this little young man and then this kind of a, I don't know, I would call him, you know, kind of like a teenager. And then he gets a little bit further, and then it's got this full-grown man with a big soldier suit on, with armor on. And that's the next step, okay? You want to grow. You want to get a little bit taller. You want to get a little bit bigger. You want to get a little bit stronger. And that's a normal thing for a Christian. The sad thing is there's too many Christians that are still stuck at the baby level. Now, they've grown physically, okay, but they haven't grown spiritually. And they're sitting at the baby level, or maybe the young person level. Maybe they're 10 years old or so. You know, maybe they're not just, you know, like a newborn baby. You know, maybe they're more like 10 or 11 years old. But they should be 40, 50, 60 years old spiritually. They ought to be stronger. And the trouble is they haven't made the next step. The trouble is the Lord looked at them and said, okay, now we've been here long enough. Let's get over to the other side. And when the Lord said that, they said, "I'm not so sure about that," because if you keep reading in the passage, you'll find out in order to get to the other side, there has to be a storm that happens. There has to be trouble. There has to be problems. And sadly, but true, that's what has to happen. As a Christian, when you grow, you know how you grow? You know when you're the closest to the Lord? In trouble. If you're in times of prosperity, if you have plenty of money that's in the bank, if all the bills are paid, got you know, full tank of gas in the car, your job's going good, you're getting plenty of overtime, you're making plenty of money, you got no problems, kids are healthy, got plenty of shoes for them, got brand new shoes for them, got brand new clothes for them, everything's wonderful, you're feeling the best you've ever felt, at the top of your game, everything's just going great. You know what you tend to do? You tend not to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You tend to trust yourself. Amen. And you tend to put confidence in the flesh. We talked about that this morning too. Amen. Paul said we put no confidence in the flesh. Whatever abilities you have, whatever talents you have, it came from God, not you. And you can't perfect those by yourself. Amen. If you want to perfect those, then you seek the Lord and you say, "Lord, let me do this for you." See? But there came a point, sadly, in some Christians' lives when the Lord said, "Let's go to the other side." And they said, "I don't want to, because when I look out there, I see dark clouds. I see sheets of rain moving through. I see lightning. I see thunder. And I know, because that preacher's told me for the past 10 years of my life while I've been sitting in that church, he's told me that in order to get to the other side, I got to go through trouble. And I'm afraid of what'll happen." Anybody ever reach that point in your life? Yeah. That's normal. That's normal. Listen, listen, being scared of the trouble is just as normal as growing up. It's the same thing. It's normal. And it's normal to worry about it, but you have to take some steps to get over to the other side. And if you're not careful, and I found this out in my own life, sadly, if you're not careful, you'll hang around in the wrong place for too long. You may be in the right place, okay? You may be right where God wants you to be. And you may be there for 5 months, 5 years, 5 decades, don't know. But you'll be there for a while, and the Lord will gently say, you've compassed this mountain long enough, move you northward. And you say, ah, Lord, I don't know, because things are kind of comfortable here. This is my groove, okay? I mean, I've got it all going right. Everything's going good. We had some trouble when we first started out, and we made it through that trouble. Now we're on the mountaintop, and now we're to the other side. Because you called me to the other side, and I followed you to the other side. So I just want to stay here for a while, now that I've made it through. Because when I look ahead, I see trouble. And when I look behind, I see trouble. I just want to stay right here, right here. Anybody know what the eye of the storm is? When you have a hurricane come through, and that eye passes over you, man, it's just as calm and still. And that's where you want to stay. Because when you look in front, you see trouble. When you look in back, you see trouble. When you look to the west and to the east, you see trouble. See? And sometimes a Christian will want to stay right there where that eye is. And they'll just want to stay right there. And if you're not careful, you'll want to hang out there for too long, because it's comfortable, because it's something that you're used to. And you won't move to the other side. And the longer you stay there, the more damage you're going to do. And it may not be damage to yourself. It may be damage to someone else. Listen. You may damage somebody else by staying in the wrong place, or excuse me, staying in the right place for too long. When God says go, you got to go. We had Brother Mooberry here last week. Brother Mooberry and Maggie and their kids. Brother Mooberry was a missionary, right? Brazil. They were down there for a couple of 3 years, I think, somewhere around there, 3 years. And there came a point in Brother Mooberry's life where the Lord said, it's time to go. And he said, I got to answer the call. So he went to the mission field. But there also came a point when the Lord said, you know what, Brother Matt, you've been here long enough. You need to get back over there. And there's a lot of brethren that would look at him and say, oh, he's out of God's will, because God called him there. He ought to stay there. I mean, bless God. I mean, there's no way that he's doing what he ought to be doing. Because once God calls a missionary, hey, the gifts the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He should be there. Till he dies, he ought to be there. Even if it cost him his family. Right? Even if it cost him that. I highly doubt that God's going to tell you to do something that's going to cost you your family. God ain't going to do that. Now, I understand that sometimes God calls a man to do something. And maybe his wife don't want to do it, and they have problems, and they split up. Or maybe, hey, maybe it's the woman that's wanting to follow the Lord. And the man says, nothing doing. I ain't doing that. And they have trouble. I know that. But sometimes God calls you to the other side. And if you're not careful, you'll stay there too long, because it's comfortable. And you may hurt someone else, not just your own self. Deuteronomy chapter 2, he said, you've compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Where is north? Where's north? Person in China is going to say, don't matter where you're at on the earth, you say, where's north? Right there. Don't matter. North is where God's at. He said he dwells on the sides of the north. So when you turn northward, when God calls you to turn northward, you know where you're getting to? You're getting closer to him. You get to the other side. Now there's a call. There's a definite call when God calls you to go to the other side. Now there's a time of growth. Turn to 2 Peter with me. There's different stages of growth throughout a Christian's life. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Turn one book back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is just kind of a review for you guys. I know you know this, and I know pastors went over it several times, but just for the sake of setting the stage here, we'll just go with it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, that's a brand new baby, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, you don't feed a T-bone steak to a newborn baby, do you? So you need milk. You need something just to give me the right nutrients. After that, turn to John chapter 13. Now John, when John writes and he mentions children a lot of different times throughout the Gospel of John, and then you read 1 John, and he talks a lot about children. He doesn't just call them children, he calls them little children. John 13, verse 33, he says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you." If you turn to 1 John, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 John chapter 2, John, when he writes, he says the word little children 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different times. They're just in a short epistle of 1 John, out of 5 chapters, he says 9 different times, he says, "Little children, little children, little children." Okay? You get somebody that gets saved and they're brand new, have them read the Gospel of John. When they get done with the Gospel of John, have them move to 1 John. Why? Because it deals with little children. Okay? And he's trying to help you to grow. And as you get further along there in Titus chapter 2, turn to Titus 2. Different stages of growth. Titus chapter 2. Growth is a normal thing. A lot of people are scared of it. Christians are scared to grow. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Here we go. "That they may teach the young men to be sober." Now, they're not little children, but they're not full-grown men yet. They're young men. Teach the young... Did I say young men? I said young men, didn't I? It's young women. Verse 4. "That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Now, some of you older ladies, I say older, some of you middle-aged ladies, some of you middle-aged ladies, you know what you need to be teaching your daughters? That. Right there. Teach them that. You say, I don't know what to do with my daughters. About 3 verses right there. That's your instructions right there. If you just do that, you'll be all right. Now keep reading. Verse number 6. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." You need to teach the young men too. "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity," so on and so forth. He talks about young women and young men. Now Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll look at verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. There's a growth. There's a growth. Ephesians chapter 4, start reading in verse number 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till it all come in the unity of the faith." This is the goal, okay? "Of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's what you're trying to get to. Okay, now you start out way down here, and you're trying to get way over here, but you can't go from here to here like that. It takes time. You got to grow. In order to get there, you got to go to the other side, and sometimes you got to go through those storms. Now, the first thing, back in Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, as you're going to the other side, there's a couple of different things that the Lord mentions here, and I'll run through them as quick as I can. Verse 35, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." There's the call. What's the first thing he does? Verse 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." You got to send away the multitude sometimes. You got to send away the multitude. What is the multitude? Somebody tell me what the multitude is. In your Christian life, if you're going to grow with the Lord, what's the multitude? Anybody? What's that? Peers? What else? Multitude. You got to send away the multitude sometimes. The multitude kind of insinuates that it's a large group of people, okay? You people that are here this morning, how many of you believe the book? Amen. Amen. You people represent a small group of people, okay? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say you're the only ones left throughout the world, so we're just going to sit under the tree and whine and gripe about it. No. But you represent a small group of people. The large and the vast majority of people are going the way of the, say it, world. Okay? There's a multitude. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew, he said, wide is the gate and broad is the way. Right? That's this right here. Anybody know what verse that was? Matthew chapter, it's either 6 or 7, ain't it? Somebody look it up. Matthew chapter 6. No, I got it written down. Never mind. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse number 13. Jesus said, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And how many there be that find it? Many there be which go in thereat. You keep reading, and you find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, he said, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth to life. And few there be that find it. Few there be. Folks, it's easy to go this way. Look at how much room is there. Look at how much room you got to just do whatever you want. Just do whatever you want, man. Hey, just live life how you want to live it. Listen, because there's room for everybody here. There's room for all in here, see? Got plenty of room. Hell hath what? Hell hath enlarged itself. There's always room for one more. There's always room for two more. There's always room for 100 more, 1,000 more. Plenty of room down there for you. You want to come up this way. And see, here is like the EAC, the East Australian Current. Yeah. Running fast through here. Going fast, really fast. And every now and then you'll have somebody that gets snatched out of the jaws of hell and they just kind of slip up in there. Just by the skin of their teeth, the old timers say. Just by the skin of their teeth, they get up in there. If you're here and saved, you got on this road right here just by the skin of your teeth. Make no mistake about it. You didn't get there because you're a good guy. And you didn't get there because you're a good girl. You got there just by the skin of your teeth because somebody else was looking out for you. Because somebody else paid the price for you. It wasn't because you're good. It wasn't because you're nice. It wasn't because you're a good church member. It wasn't because you gave $100 in the plate every Sunday for 50 years straight. It's because you're a rotten sinner going to hell, and God saw fit in His mercy to reach down and pick you up out of a pit, like David said, and set your feet on a rock. And you just barely got in. Just barely got in. I've been saved almost 20 years, and it feels like 20 seconds. I just barely got in, man. Just barely got in. See? If you're going to get to the other side, there's all kinds of people going this way. You're going to have to get out of there. Sometimes you got to send away the multitude. You got to get the multitude away from you. You got to get away from it and get on the old timers call it the straight and narrow. Amen? Amen? What's the best way? What's the best way? Well, not the best way. I'll just give you this. I heard somebody say this. One of the best ways to get away from the world is find out what they're doing. Find out what's the latest fad. Anybody know what the latest fad of the world is? What is it? Latest fad going on. Go ahead. Yeah. Anything else? Find out what's going this way, and you go directly contrary to it. That way. If you do that, you will be a shining light. People will notice you. People notice you. You go out on the job site and listen to all these guys cuss and filth and foul and swear and just talk like filthy, nasty, just terrible. You go out there one day and work without saying a cuss word, and the next day they're going to say, how come you don't cuss? What's the matter with you? What are you doing? My kid goes and plays basketball or sees other people doing stuff, and they say, how come you don't cuss? What's the matter with you? Why don't you talk like that? He says, because I don't want to. Because it ain't right. They'll see it. They'll see it. One of the best ways to grow as a Christian is find out what the world's doing and go contrary to it. Amen? Perpendicular, not parallel. Go the opposite way. Anybody ever try to cut against the grain? That's hard, but it makes a clean cut. Anybody ever notice that? You take a board and you put it in a table saw and you go with the grain, and it'll cut fairly easy, but when you get done, there'll be marks and stuff in it. It'll be all boogered up. But you take that same piece of wood and turn it the opposite way, and go against the grain, and when you get done, pull it out and look at it, and you'll have two smooth ends. Going against the grain, it'll be clean, it'll be smooth. Sometimes you've got to send the multitude away. You've got to leave things behind. You've got to leave things behind you. You can't drag that stuff with you. Paul said, leaving those things which are behind, leaving that stuff. Quit reaching back there trying to grab a hold of it again while you're trying to go this way and trying to take your hook and throw it back there and try to catch something to bring it with you. Leave it back there. Just leave it, because it ain't going to help you. I mean, it never helped you all those years you were lost. So leave it there. Leave it there. I heard a saying, it says, you can never cross the ocean without the courage to lose sight of the shore. You can never cross the ocean without the courage to lose sight of the shore. You got to leave some of that stuff behind you. You got to get it away from you. So sometimes you're going to have to send the multitude away. Keep reading verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Here it is. Look here. And there were also with him other little ships. So Jesus must have been in the big ship. I mean, this is what I'm picturing, okay? Jesus is in the big ship. He's the head. He's got his men there with him, and they're going across. And he looks behind him, and you know what's behind him? A bunch of other little ships. What are they doing? They're following him. Sometimes whenever you decide, you know what, I'm going to get out of the multitude. I'm going to get out of this way, and I'm going to go contrary. Most of them will say, go on, have your way. But there's going to be a few of them other ones that are going to notice and say, I want what that dude's got. I want that grit. I want that toughness. I want that soldier mentality where he's just going to go no matter what happens, and he's going to go. And they'll follow you up that way. Mamas and daddies, when you do that right there, when you call out from here and you start going this way, guess who's going to be watching you? And little kids are going to be following you. Listen, don't think for a second that one of these words is in here just by chance. It says there were other little ships that followed. The little one's going to follow you. And when you go to the other side, if you want to get to the other side, you're going to have some that are going to follow you. So keep in mind that no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. Amen. Anybody ever think about that prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? Everybody wants to talk about the prodigal son. Oh, he's a horrible son. He left his father. What did he do that for? He had no business going out there. He should have never went. Oh, the nerve of that younger son going out there and doing it. Anybody ever pay attention to the elder son? What a jerk. What a rear end. He's terrible treating his brother that way. His brother gets out, and he gets out there and, you know, hangs around with the hogs, eating the slop, and he finally realizes, I'm going to go back to dad's house. I bet you part of the reason that kid left that house was because that older son was a rear end to him. And he finally got tired of it and said, I ain't taking it no more. And he got out, and he went out. Yeah, he's going to have to give account for what he did. But I'm going to tell you right now, that older boy is going to have to give some account, too, for the way he treated that kid that made him go out there. I know he makes his own decisions, but he had something to do with it. Because whenever he comes back, that older son goes out there and crosses his arm. I can't believe he's treating him like this. Look at all the good stuff I've done. He never gave me that. Sits there and huffs like that. Dad comes out and says, hey, why don't you come on in? Your brother's back. Well, how come you never killed the fatted calf for me? I mean, look at all the farm work I've done for you. Look at all the stuff that we've went out here and worked on and harvested. Look at all the time that I've put in here. Look at what I've done. He ain't the slightest bit happy that his brother came home. And that reminds me of some Christians. Ain't the slightest bit happy. Ain't the slightest bit happy about it. Anybody ever know of a guy in 3 John? His name is Diotrephes. Anybody ever hear of him? Diotrephes. That's 3 John chapter 3 John verse 9. That guy's a rear end. He's in the church. And there's people that come in and say, you know what? We want to become part of this church. We want to be like you all because we see you've got something. And we need it. Diotrephes says, you ain't like us. You stay out. There's a bunch of independent Baptist churches, Bible-believing Baptist churches, that are full of Diotrephes. You ain't our stripe. You're not allowed to come in here. Well, you don't look like we do. You ain't allowed to come in here. You stink, man. You stink. And if your dialed your fees this morning, man, I'd be the first one down here saying, God, forgive me. You got any idea how many people have tried to come into this church and you kept them out because of that? Well, you ain't like us. Well, look at all the trouble you've had in the past. Well, they ain't nothing but trouble. You wasn't nothing but trouble before you got saved either. Somebody took you in. Dialed your fees. Dialed your fees. I didn't even mean to get on that yet. That ain't till the third point. But hey, it fits. It fits. Last of all, you keep reading verse number 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. You know what else you're going to find whenever you try to go to the other side? You know what you're going to find? You're going to find opposition. There's going to be something hitting you just like that. Sometimes kind of like when the preacher gets up and preaches a message and it comes back and hits him in the face because it's being opposed so bad. Amen. You're going to find opposition. You're going to find opposition from your family. Sometimes. Sometimes you're going to find opposition from your friends for sure. What about Satan? You're going to get some opposition from him. I tell you, the biggest opposition you're going to get, and some of you are going to look at me like I'm crazy, and some of you may not agree with me, but you know the biggest opposition you're going to get whenever you try to go to the other side? It's going to be you. It's going to be yourself. Whenever you try to put some things behind you and put down some things you know were hurting your relationship with Christ, when you try to put those things down and you try to go forward, it ain't always going to be the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? Sometimes it's just going to be the flesh. It's just going to be you. Self. You know how many self-centered people are in here this morning? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Every one of us. Self-centered. What am I going to get out of the deal? What am I going to get out of it? What's in it for me? I want to know what I can get. And some of you are even, you know, some of you even act like, well, I'm going to go ahead and be humble. I'm going to give. I'm going to give with a spirit of humility. And nothing but false piety is all it is. Just false piety. Just, yeah, whatever. Just like Pastor talked about last week, Saul. False piety. Yes, bless God, let me give you something to help you along the way. But let me make sure the preacher's watching while I do it. Okay. Let me make sure so-and-so's watching while I do that. You see what I'm doing here? Thank you. See there? False piety. False piety. The biggest opposition you're going to have is going to be yourself. You can't have any selfishness. If you're going to get over to the other side, if you're going to take the next step in your Christian walk with the Lord and grow and get stronger, you're going to have to look at yourself and say, shut your mouth. I'm not going the way you want me to go. You're going to have to get selfless. You're going to have to put yourself down. And you're going to have to get over your feelings. Listen, we got church members that are so worried about their feelings. Then, you know, they got the little chip on their shoulder. Well, he hurt my feelings. Well, she hurt my feelings. Well, they shouldn't have said that. Did you see the way they looked at my pie after I spent hours slaving for that? And he said it needed more sugar. Now, down south, that's prevalent. That happens. Now, up here, I don't know. You know, maybe it doesn't happen. But people get offended over the littlest thing. I mean, over the smallest things. They get so offended. And they, listen, there ain't no chance of them saying, I'm sorry, I got offended. I shouldn't have done that. And then leave it. Now, they may come up and say, I'm sorry, I got offended. I shouldn't have done that. But I only did it because, golly, that just makes me sick when I hear people do that stuff. That's a false confession like Pastor talked about last week too. Can anybody tell who it hit last week? It hit me. Amen. You're going to have yourself to fight. Don't be so quick. Don't be so quick to talk about other people. That's flesh, folks. Did you know that? The reason you want to talk about somebody else, that's you. That's your flesh wanting to do that. Wanting to run them down for some reason. Don't be so quick to do that. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 17. Galatians 5:17 says this, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. So you got two people that are fighting for domination, control. You got the flesh, you got yourself, and then you got the spirit, the Holy Spirit. and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Look here, look here, look here. Flesh, spirit. What did it say? They're what? One. They're contrary. They're going opposite directions. You can't make them line up. You can't make them line up. They're not going to line up, so stop trying to make it happen. Your flesh is always, 100% of the time, going to go contrary to what He wants. It's always going to happen. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now it goes through verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, okay? Everything in this list is things that the flesh is responsible for. Not the devil, so don't get out of it and say, well, the devil made me do it. Everybody else is doing it, so why can't I do it? Well, the devil, no. Here we go. Ready? Strap your boots on, because it's going to get deep. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. What is uncleanness? If it's unclean, it's dirty. It's anything that ain't clean. It's unrighteousness, doing anything that is not righteous before God. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Listen, it ain't the devil causing people to bow down and worship Mary. It's the flesh. Witchcraft. Boy, that was kind of an eye-opener for me when I read that. I always thought, hey, witchcraft, that's, you know, Satan, the devil's causing them to do that. Paul said it's a work of the flesh. Hatred. Variance. Anybody know what variance is? If you vary, if something varies, it's different from something else. Okay? You'll notice while we keep reading that most of these deal with contention between people. It has a spirit of contention or arguing. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelings. And such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not go to heaven. Is that what it says? That ain't what it says. What does it say? They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You let those things rule your life, and that millennial kingdom for you ain't going to be too good. You're going to lose some inheritance. Now, you might be saved, but you're going to lose a lot of inheritance, and you're going to spend 1,000 years naked and ashamed, cleaning the toilets like Harley did in our play. All right? That's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. Those are all things that have to do with the flesh. The very next verse, but the fruit of the Spirit, see? Now you read through that verse, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit right there. Happens to be in Galatians, which is the 9th book of the New Testament. And it happens to be chapter 5, verse 22. 5 plus 2 plus 2 is 9. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. 9 deals with fruitfulness. And if you read those, you'll find that every one of those things, every one in Galatians 5:22 goes contrary to the ones in verse 21. Contrary. Totally different. Totally different. Totally different. You need to get to the other side. Okay? You've stayed here long enough. You say, I've been a member of this church for 50 years. You've been here long enough. I ain't telling you to get out of the church. I'm saying you've been staying at that point in your Christian life long enough. Now let's get to the next step. I've been saved for 70 years, preacher. Let's go to the next step. Paul never quit, did he? Paul never reached the point where he said, I'm on a plateau. I think I'll sit here for a little while. Paul said, it's time to go to the other side. Time to go to the other side. I'm going to give this to you this morning, and we'll be done. I gave this to the kids this morning in the youth group, but it bears repeating. So, those of you that were in the youth group, you're off the hook for right now, but I'll let you sleep if you want to. I'll show you something here. In the Old Testament, that shepherd, like what David was, and that shepherd would be leading his sheep throughout the wilderness or the pastures or wherever he was out in the open fields, came a point at night when it was time to stop. It was time to bed down for the night. He put the sheep in. He'd usually try to find a cave or something that had the mouth of a big cave, and he'd get them all herded in there, and they'd get in there and stop. And then the shepherd would lay down in front of that door right there, that little mouth of the cave. So that way, if any intruders, if the wolf or the lions or whatever, tigers, try to come in and kill the sheep, had to go through the shepherd first, right? If they couldn't find a cave, if they weren't on a mountainside, if that wasn't available, they'd take a pile of rocks, stones, they'd make a wall, not a nice, perfect wall. I mean, you know, they're dealing with rocks, so they'd build a wall like that. And then on top of that, they'd put some different things up on top of it. One of you youth that was in there this morning, get Proverbs 22:5. And they'd build that wall of rocks, stones, and then they'd make a doorway right here. They'd kind of make it funnel down. Anybody ever hear of a fatal funnel? I know you've probably heard of it, brother. Anybody else know what a fatal funnel is? Okay. A fatal funnel is a military term, I guess you could say, a military type term, to where you create a place to where if the enemy comes in, they have to come into a small place, like a funnel. So that way you've got a small space where you're shooting at to kill them all when they come in. That way they don't fan out, and you have to go look over here, and you draw them all right into that one spot. Fatal funnel, they call it. Okay? And he'd make a doorway, and then shepherd would be here. I'm a terrible artist, so do not laugh at me. He's got his little rod and staff here. They may even have long hair. How's that? So the shepherd, again, lays down in front of the door. John 10. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." If you want to get in here, you got to go through the doorway. If the wolf wants to get in here, he's got to go through the shepherd, right? Okay, so you got here, and now you got these little sheep. Don't laugh. I'm trying. Little smiley sheep here. Forgot their tail. So you got sheep in here. The sheep are inside the fold. And in here, it's safe, because they're in here and they're protected by the wall around about them, and they're protected by the shepherd. And the shepherd's not going to let anything get in there that's going to hurt them. Okay? Jesus said, "I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it more." This is abundant life right here. What's the opposite of life? Death. Okay? Out here, wandering around, is what we would call the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your adversary, the devil, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Out here's Satan. Now, one of you youth that has Proverbs 22:5, stand up. If you have it, stand up. Come on, stand up. David, read it real loud. Okay. No, stay up. Read that first part again. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. If you read through Proverbs, you'll find that word froward mentioned, I think, three different times. Go ahead. Thank you, David. I think it's mentioned three times. Now, English lesson, English 101. Anybody know what the word froward means? Anybody know what it means? Let me give you this word. Anybody know what toward means? Look at it. If you're going, if I'm walking down the steps, I'm going to walk down here and I'm going to walk over toward Brother Brian. I'm walking toward Brother Brian, ain't I? If I turn around and do this, what am I doing? I'm walking from him, okay? As a Christian, for sake of time, I don't have any more time, but for sake of time, you're in here. You know what's here? A wall. You know what's on top of that wall? Thorns and snares. Briars. Stickers. Anybody ever walk through the woods when you're hunting and get tangled up in a big thicket full of briars and thorns? Man, that hurts. That stuff's up there to keep him from getting in. He ain't going to get in there because he's got this guy right here watching over him. These sheep, if these sheep decide, anybody ever hear the song called the 90 and 9? And you got one that wanders away. You know what he's trying to do? He had to get out some way. He ain't going to get out through the shepherd. So he has to try to get out. Got to get over that wall. Like a prison with barbed wire up on top of it and razor wire up on top of it. Now, there might be a prisoner get out of jail, but when he gets over that wall, he's going to be sliced all to pieces. You know why some of you Christians run into so much trouble? Because you're trying to get out of here and get back out here. And you're running into problems. You're running into thorns, stairs. You keep getting poked and pricked. And the Lord looked at Paul in Acts chapter 9 and said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's like the Lord just keeps pricking you and pricking you and pricking you. And you keep saying, leave me alone, I want to go here. And he says, no. And he keeps pricking you and pricking you and pricking you. You know why you can't get to the other side? Because you keep trying to get out here. You got no business out here. Because this is death. You have no business out there. So stop trying to get out there. You belong here. You belong there. Okay? Now this is not a doctrinal teaching of salvation and getting out of salvation because you, listen, once you're saved, period. But as a Christian and your walk with Jesus Christ, you can kick and you can try to get out of here. And the more you try, the more thorns you're going to run into. And the harder you're going to keep kicking and the more it's going to hurt. So the best thing to do, like what I told them this morning, stay in here and enjoy the ride. You ain't got nothing to worry about out here. That stuff never helped you before. Stay in here for a while. And you stay in here, and you know what you can do? You can follow this guy all the way through the wilderness, all the way through the storm, and you can get to the other side. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. We're grateful again for your blessings. Thank you for being good to us. I pray, Father, that you deal with all of our hearts and help us to get closer to you. And there's so many things that we try to bring along the way with us. And we can't carry stuff with us. We have nothing to carry with us. When we came to you, we didn't have nothing to offer you. We had sin. That's all we had. We didn't give you any goodness. We didn't give you any cleanness, any righteousness. We gave you sin. And I'm afraid there's so many of us that just keep trying to hang on to some of those things and pull them with us along the way. And it's like a ball and chain. We just keep dragging along with us. And we look back behind us and we see just a big row where we've been dragging that thing with us. I pray you'd help us to get rid of some of those things this morning. And I pray, God, that you'd turn the light on for us and let us see. If there's somebody here, Lord, that you've dealt with, I pray they make things right this morning. And if there be one here that's lost and has never trusted Christ as Savior, they're not in the fold. They're still wandering in the wilderness where there's nothing but trouble and death waiting on them. I pray they come to the fold this morning and trust Christ as their Savior. As you stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed, she's going to play. The invitation is open. The altar is open. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And for God's sake, people, you can't get to the other side. You can never cross the ocean without the courage to lose sight of the shore. You can't cross the ocean without the courage to lose sight of the shore. You got to be willing to let some things go. Turn them over to the Lord, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It's not a coincidence that that verse is right before the verse that says that the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You hang on to those cares and you hang on to that stuff and the devil will devour you. You got to turn loose of that stuff and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one to help you. He's the only one to help you. Father, again, we thank you for this time you've given us. We are grateful for your love and for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. I pray that you'd bless now and keep us all safe, keep us healthy as we go our separate ways, and give us the courage to lose sight of the shore and to press forward and to go over to the other side with you. Thank you again. We love you and pray you'd please come today. We want to see you face to face. Love to hear the trumpet today. Go home and see you. Again, bless our pastor and get him back to us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day, guys.